couple of matters on the agenda this morning as it relates to H3020, the fetal heartbeat bill. We do have a number of people that have signed up to speak, and a lot of folks have traveled here from across the state. Rather than impose a hard and fast time limit, we would just ask if you come to the podium to be mindful of the fact that there are a lot of folks behind you that have likely signed up to come and be able to chat with us this morning. We want to hear from everybody, and so if you will, just please be mindful of that. Mr. McCravey, I'm going to just jump right in, and you're the sponsor of the bill, obviously a two-line summary. The bill requires an attempt to detect a heartbeat. If one is detected, a fetal heartbeat, then there is an abortion ban with a limited exception, and with like the mother. I know you will do a more in-depth job than that explanation, but because of the time and the folks we have here, we're going to jump right in. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. And the Fetal Heartbeat Protection from Abortion Act does exactly what you just said. It protects it requires that the medical provider test for a fetal heartbeat by ultrasound prior to doing an abortion. If that heartbeat is detected, then the abortion is prohibited. There is also an informed consent component to this, where the mother is allowed to see the ultrasound and allowed to view that. And if there's a heartbeat, she's allowed to hear the heartbeat. There's also a request to, in this bill, to advise the mother of the probability of a successful delivery, which we know that if there's a heartbeat detected, there's a 90% chance that they can survive. There are several exceptions to the requirements. One is that if there's an ectopic pregnancy, that this bill does not apply to that. Also, for the life or serious health of the mother, these provisions would not apply. Also, if there's a procedure that needs to be performed for the life of the mother and incidentally causes an abortion, this bill would not apply to that either. We've got the testimony, I've submitted the testimony, written testimony, of Walter Weber, who is an accomplished constitutional law attorney for over 34 years, graduated from Yale, written over 135 briefs to the Supreme Court, and he is a senior counsel at ACLJ, and you can read his opinion on this and whether it's constitutional or not. He said that there are several portions of this bill that are not even debatable, that they are constitutional, they can't be challenged, they almost frivolous and challenged. The protection of the baby is what will be challenged, and he predicts, you can't predict the U.S. Supreme Court, you can't predict it, but he believes that this bill would fit within, even without overturning Roe versus Wade, they could adopt, instead of viability, they can adopt the heartbeat as a standard and as a marker, because viability with science has changed, continues to change, whereas the heartbeat is a definite marker and a predictability of survival. So with that, I don't want to belabor it, because I'd like to move on with this. We've got a lot of people signed up to speak. I know we have a pastor out there. We've got a doctor, different people. So they've driven a long way to be here. So I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman, for your question.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Representative McCravey at this time? Okay. We're going to call these in the order in which the folks signed up. But the sergeant has asked me to please remind folks that outbursts are not acceptable to quorum, and that the sergeant's office will remove anybody from the meeting that engages in that kind of activity. We're going to keep this a civil discussion and appreciate everybody agreeing to do so. Pastor Tony Beth Foster, good morning and welcome. Please come to the podium.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you being here this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Tony Foster. I'm the pastor of one of the greatest churches in South Carolina. It's Restoration Worship Center. It's an honor to be here. Back in 2007, I was in the country of Nepal on a missions trip and ministering there to about 1,000 Indians. And as I was standing there, I began to recall a story about a little boy. This little boy's father died in a car accident. His mother had to raise him at 17 years old. This little boy grew up and he almost died even at birth. From that standpoint, this little boy grew up to be 22 years old, almost died of cancer, but he kept going. That little boy was me. My mother was 17 years old when she became pregnant with me. And she did not abort me. Her thoughts were, her body is her body, and my body is my body. Her whole premise was that this life that's inside of me, that's already detected, because she believed that life began at conception. She was a born-again Christian. And from that standpoint, she realized that not only my body, her body was her body, but my body was mine. She wanted me to live that I could change the world. And I thank God for my mother who did that. She's a great woman. I want to say today that I support the Heartbeat Bill. I believe that life begins at conception, and I believe that when a heartbeat is detected, life is there. So I support this bill. Thank you very much.
Steve Simmons. Good morning. I believe you've given us a handout as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for staff passing that around. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee. My name is Steve Leffeman. I'm director of Columbia Christians for Life. With the Lord's help, I've been a Christian pro-life missionary since 1991. I am here to testify against passage of H3202, the Fetal Heartbeat Bill, for two reasons today. Number one, H3202 is fundamentally flawed and is a corruption of the nature of laws in general. And number two, to vote for H3202, the heartbeat bill, would, I believe, be a violation of the oath of office taken by South Carolina representatives. Point number one, the heartbeat bill does not establish justice for all human beings at fertilization, but chooses a biological benchmark which may occur and be detected a month and a half or later after fertilization, and allows all human beings in the womb prior to that point to be exterminated. To make my case, H3202 is a corruption of the nature of laws in general. I look to an early textbook used at the University of South Carolina Law School. I understand three members of the subcommittee are alumni of USC Law School. That textbook is namely William Blackstone's Commentaries. It is my understanding Blackstone has been cited in numerous U.S. Supreme Court opinions. If you will look at the first two pages of the handout, two excerpts of the USC Law School history are circled with pink highlighter. This history of the USC Law School was prepared by the former Associate Director for Administration of the USC Law Library. You can see their documentation of the use of Blackstone's commentaries as part of the USC Law School curriculum at certain times. Next, please look at the few pages copied from Blackstone's commentaries, specifically page 28. That's the third page into the handout. From Blackstone's introduction, section 2 of the Nature of Laws in General. Underlined on page 28, we see these words, quote, upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation depend all human laws. That is to say, no human laws should be suffered to contradict these, end quote. Further down, Blackstone specifically addresses the case of murder, which is what we are dealing with when considering abortion. Blackstone wrote, quote, to instance in the case of murder, this is expressly forbidden by the divine and demonstrably by the natural law, and from these prohibitions arises the true unlawfulness of this crime. He continued further down, nay, if any human law should allow or enjoin us to commit it, we are bound to transgress that human law, or else we must offend both the natural and the divine. Clearly, H3202 Heartbeat Bill allows the murder of those human beings less than 6 weeks old to continue. To apply Blackstone's analysis, H3202 is an offense both to the natural and the divine. Point number two. My second point is that for a South Carolina representative to vote for H3202 is, I believe, a violation of his oath of office. The oath of office concludes with the words, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of this state and of the United States, so help me God, end quote. So the oath includes not only upholding the state constitution, but also the U.S. Constitution. The preamble of the U.S. Constitution includes, among the purposes for which the Constitution was ordained and established, that of, to quote, establish justice. Therefore, because the Heartbeat Bill does not, quote unquote, establish justice for any human beings prior to approximately 6 weeks old, it violates the preamble of the U.S. Constitution, which South Carolina representatives are sworn to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend. Those are the two reasons I state today for voting no for H3202. The Heartbeat Bill is, number one, the Heartbeat Bill is fundamentally flawed, is a corruption of the nature of laws in general, and two, to vote for H3202, the Heartbeat Bill, would, I believe, be a violation of the oath of office taken by South Carolina representatives. Thank you. If I was writing this legislation, I would delete all after the bill number and insert the language of H3920, which is filed and has, I believe, 30 co-sponsors or so at this time, and pass that.
Okay, I don't have that one in front of me.
That's the Personhood Act.
Okay.
The Personhood Act of South Carolina.
Explain to me in your words what that
says. It establishes justice by establishing legal personhood for all human beings at fertilization with no exceptions. By establishing legal personhood, it vests constitutional rights, including protection of the right to life for all human beings with no exceptions.
As I understand the Personhood Act, it can actually prevent implantation of a fertilized egg after fertilization.
The bill establishes personhood illegal at fertilization, period. We're either human beings at conception or we're not.
That would outlaw birth control pills as well.
There is a debate on the pharmacological functioning of birth control pills, whether it's only contraceptive or it's also abortifacient. I believe, when I read the physician's desk reference, that it's also, it's not only contraceptive, but it's also abortifacient. But I think that's a subject that would need to be thoroughly vetted in the public public arena, and both sides heard, and a determination made at some later point, where the state will stand on birth control pills.
Okay. So if you're advocating for everything to be illegal post-fertilization, then you're advocating for the illegality of the endometrial lining and prevent implantation. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that what I read in the physician's desk reference is that birth control pills, by affecting, as you just said, the endometrial lining of a woman's uterus, impedes implantation. However, there is a debate on how those pills work. And so I think at some future point, that debate needs to be held publicly, both sides heard, and a determination made what public policy South Carolina will choose.
I'm just trying to understand your the points that you're making, I think.
Any other questions by members?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dr. Laura Wallifer, and I'm a political science professor. I taught at the University of South Carolina.